Wonderful to be able to come together. It's good to see everybody that is here this morning. Welcome our visitors that are here this morning. Always encouraged when we have visitors with us. We hope that we are encouraging you as you're with us, visiting with us also. If there is anything that is said or done throughout our worship that you have questions about, we ask that you ask those. Let us have the opportunity to explain how we worship and why we worship that way, or anything is said during the lesson that you have questions about or feel that might be misspoken, that you bring that to my attention also. We can study and see what the Word of God has to say. We want to make sure the truth is being taught, that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. As we continue and the season continues to change, warmer weather is upon us, though I've been told this week it may not be so, but for the most part, warmer weather is coming upon us. It continues to get warmer and warmer. And as the weather continues to get warmer, we have to ask the question of what it is we're wearing and making sure that we're living and dressing modestly, living a godly life as we live our lives upon this earth. So what I want to do today is look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God has revealed on modesty. Look at the Word. Look at the Bible. Search the Scriptures and see what it is the Scriptures have to say. Not going forth and just putting my input, my thought, and my way, but looking to God and seeing if He has revealed anything that we should be looking at as we go and search the Scriptures. As we start off our lesson, we start off in 1 Timothy 2. I want to go to 1 Timothy 2 and look there, read the verses here, but I want to start in verse 8. I want to start in verse 8 as we go forth, because some would like to start and just look at verse 9, but I want to look at verse 8 with it because it gives it the context and the understanding of what we're talking about here, and understand that when we talk about modesty, we're not just talking to the women. We are talking to the men also. We are talking that we all need to make sure that we are dressing appropriately as we live our lives upon this earth. And so if you read with me here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and reading in verse 8, I read from the New King James translation here. It says, "I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt." So I want to stop there real quick and just look at that verse and point out that it's talking to the men here, and that they are lifting up holy hands, that they are being called to be holy. Men are being told to do this work, to pray, and to be holy to God. And as you continue to read in verse 9, it says, "in the like manner," otherwise likewise. So on the same point that he is writing to Timothy about men, he is writing to them about the women also. Men and women are being talked to here. In verse 9, it says, "in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works." And so here again, the claim to godliness. Women professing to be godly women. Men going forward to be holy men. It's speaking here of how we should be living our lives, of how we should be going about our worship, how we should be going about everyday life of being followers of Christ, being holy and godly, following in the footsteps of Christ. Men and women alike, we should be looking at these verses and asking, are we following the commands God has given us? Because last week we went forth and talked in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that the Word of God has everything that proclaims to life and godliness. It is giving us everything we need to know, everything we need to know of how we should be living our lives in life and godliness. And brought out that we can't separate those two things because we should be living a godly life. And so when we look at 1 Timothy 2 in verses 8 through 10, when we look at what it's talking about here, we're talking to men and women. I want to take the time to look at a couple of these words that is listed throughout verse 9. And look at the definitions, look at a couple ways in which it is translated to help us understand what it's talking about, what it's telling us to do here. And so if you will, follow along with me. We're going to talk about the words, but also look at a couple verses as we do that. So the first one we're talking about is, we often use it in most translations, modest apparel. It has come from, and I'm not going to try to pronunciate these Greek words, cosmos is what's there, but also from cosmos. And to the point, cosmos is going forth towards the world. Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so what I tell you is what I'm reading from a Strong's Dictionary or a Thayer's Dictionary, or what someone else had copied and pasted from the Thayer's or Strong's Dictionary. And so I'm just bringing it out, because as we look at the different translations here, modest, modestly, proper, or the Strong's definitions, into the point of orderly, that we do this in the right order, that we do it properly, in the way in which God has commanded us. Going forth, make sure I'm not jumping ahead of myself here, it says, well arranged, seemly modest. And it goes even to that point, of, since it's talking about orderly, going forth and talking about not just the outward appearance, but the inner appearance, the inward heart that you have. Again, we talk about that as we've gone throughout the Old Testament, as we're going through our Bible class, and point out that everything we do, our hearts have to be in the right place. Our hearts and our desires must be in the right place, and with that is going to help us accept what the Word of God has to say. Accept and help us choose wisely in how we're going to present ourselves in everyday life and what we wear and what we do from day to day. Because from our heart's desires is the way we speak, right? What we say is what was in our hearts. And the way we dress, it presents what is truly in our hearts of what we want people to see about us, what people think about us, why we dress this way. You know, when we get caught up in asking the question, well, you know, what do we see when we see people and how they're dressed? Because it's true, we dress to a certain way, and people notice that. We easily get caught up. You can look at the different peoples in jerseys. Think about this as going through the lesson. I got boys in baseball. I got Eleanor in soccer. And you can tell from different jerseys on what sports they're playing. You can. I'm telling you now, if people are wearing just their jerseys, you can tell a soccer jersey from a baseball jersey, a baseball jersey from a football jersey. You can tell the difference in jerseys. You can, if it's the full uniform with the pants, you can definitely tell the difference. We can tell what sport they're playing just because of the way they're wearing, what they're wearing. So they want to be that. If it's Halloween, this is the way they dress. You easily get caught up saying they're dressed like this. They're dressed like a sports player. You're dressed like a NASCAR driver. You're dressed in a certain way because that's where your heart is. That's what's on your mind. That's what you want to look like. It starts with the inward. And so as we look at a couple other verses here, 1 Timothy 3, and in verse 2, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, here going to the qualifications of elders. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2 says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, and of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. And so the word good behavior here comes from the word cosmos. Now again, going back to chapter 2, verse 9, there's cosmos. Add the I in there, so you're adding another word with it, but it's from the same root meaning. And so when we get caught up in good behavior, we get caught up in modest apparel, comes into what we want to look like. Even going to, again, the men, because we're talking about qualifications of elders there. And so we need to look at that. We need to understand that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 3. 1 Peter 3, and in verse 3, it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden person of heart, with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Again here, going with the adornment, and the way we arrange ourselves there in verse 3. Three, do not let your adornment, they're going with, again, the word cosmos, the orderly, neatly, arranged. Again, when we got the English version or the New King James, we're translating this from a Greek word. Right? So when it's translated different ways, it's because it's looking at that word and the different ways they used it then. And so we have to try to make sure we truly understand. So when we talk about modest, we're talking about more than just a clothing style and what we're wearing.
Especially as we look to Timothy and we look to Peter. During this time, it wasn't about not wearing enough clothes, as we're going to talk about today. And what we often get caught up in talking about, if something's too tight or something's too short, or we're not wearing our shirts, men, or women are just wearing their running bra. And, you know, back then, they were wearing too much. That's what you get caught up reading here. They were bringing attention to themselves by wearing too much jewelry, wearing too much gold, and looking a certain part. We have to be orderly in the way we dress. Going back to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 there, the word shamefacedness. Shamefacedness. Looking at the different ways in which it was translated here, decency, decently, modestly, propriety, sensibly, shamefastness, going forth into the point of downcast eyes. Eyes cast down. Ashamedness. You know, bashfulness, even to the point of blushing. I tell you, that's not the world we live in today. That is not a world that we live in today to the point that people are, you know, bashful. That people are, you know, shy or shamefaced, have downward cast eyes. Today we live in a world we want to share everything. We want everybody to know everything about us. We share everything on social media. It doesn't matter if it's the food you're eating, where you're traveling, how your visit with so-and-so went, what you're wearing. They show everything to everybody. We've lost the mindset of being bashful, of being shamefacedness. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. And this verse is not talking about the way we dress in perspective, but it's talking about the idea of being bashful, of being shamefacedness. James chapter 6 and verse 15, turn along with me here, it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall all fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord." Again, in chapter 8, Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Again, saying the same thing. They didn't know how to blush. They were not ashamed of their sins. And again, today we don't want to get caught up into that point of hurting people's feelings or saying that we should feel bad when we do something bad. But we should. We should have a conscience that tells us, I did something wrong, I feel guilty. Or that when we stand in front of the mirror, that we're somewhat shamefaced in this, to the point of blushing and saying, I don't want people to see me in this. I don't want to, you know, someone barged in the door while you're changing clothes. It's, get out, I'm changing. Or you're in the bathroom, you shut the door, you don't want people to just barge in. You blush. But people don't have that mindset today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, when we approach our brethren and we try to get them to repent of their sins and they don't first hear us and we start to go to the point of practicing church discipline, and we have to withdraw from a brother in Christ. Why do we do that? So that they will be ashamed of their sin. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14 says, "If anyone does not obey our word in the epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So out of love, out of kindness, out of caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we approach them and talk to them about sin and they don't hear us and we withdraw from them, yes, it's out of love, but it's also to make them feel ashamed of that sin. Why? Because if they're not ashamed, they're not going to change. Plain and simple, if we don't feel that we're doing wrong, then we get caught up in saying, why do I got to change? Why do I got to stop? And the thing is, if we're not doing wrong, why would you? We have to be ashamed of our sin. We have to be bashful. We have to blush and feel ashamed of our sin. And we'll get to talking about that in a good example as we look at Adam and Eve here in a bit. The last one I want to look at is the sobriety in 1 Going back to verse 9 here again, looking at the verse and different ways and translated discreetly, moderation, barbarity, seemly, sobriety, suitable, and soundness of mind, sanity, self-control. Self-control. You go back to, again, go here to 1 Timothy 2 as you're reading verse 9, but you keep on reading. You keep on reading down as it continues to talk to women there. In verse 13, it says, "For Adam was formed first, and Eve, and Adam was not deceived, and the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Verse 15, it says, "Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." Same word here. Same word here. As it goes forth and talks about that, same point is being made as we go back to verse 9 and talk about moderation. Is that, you know, going forth with propriety and moderation. Same words. And so as we look at these words and we read it here in verse 9, as it we often apply it to just our clothing, but it comes back to our hearts, to that self-control of being able to say, I don't have to look like the rest of the people in the world. Of self-control, of saying, I want to be Christ-like and godly and not just have everybody looking at me, but everybody praising God for my actions. And so as we look at those that help set a base for the rest of the lesson, we need to understand the attitude we need to have as we look in the mirror before we go out into the world every day. And as we go further, I want to start off in the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back to how God has designed things. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. When God created Adam, and he went forth and started creating things of this world, and he put Adam in the garden, there's only one thing which God said was not good. It's not good that man should be alone. There's only thing. As we go, everything is good, and then he gets that very good. But then we get to the first time we see not good. Men alone. So God created Eve. God created woman. And he put them, her in the midst of the garden with Adam. And here in verse 25 it says, "And they were both naked, man and his wife were not ashamed." Now there's two reasons that we can see that they were not ashamed. The main reason that we can look at here is that they were not accountable. They did not have the knowledge of good and evil at this time. They did not know that they were naked. They did not understand that they needed to put clothes on. When a child is born, they are born naked. Let me tell you, that child has no shame in its nakedness because it does not know. It does not know that it is naked. It does not understand that it needs some clothes. And you're trying to change your child at home as they start to learn to walk and they go running off through the house naked because they don't know. They don't know. Adam and Eve were not accountable here. They did not know good from evil. They did not know. But the second reason is as it brings out here, husband and wife, man and wife, man and woman were together naked and not ashamed because they were married. They were husband and wife. You turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 and in verse 4. It says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornication and adulterers God will judge." Among marriage, the nakedness is not ashamed. The bed is undefiled. Husband and wife. And you go further into 1 Corinthians, read chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. There. And see that a wife is not to keep her body away from the husband. Husband's not to keep their body away from the wife. Because that's the way God designed it. Why? This is to help us. To help us from the temptation that Satan sets. To keep us on the right path so that we can have some control over the temptation of lust, over the temptation of fornication, over the temptation of adultery. Again, here, it's not a shame between a husband and his wife. But then we get to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. First thing they knew, first thing they realized, when they ate of the fruit of knowledge, they ate the thing that God told them not to. What's the first thing they noticed? They noticed they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree in the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He was ashamed to be in front of God naked. They realized that it was not right to be naked. They tried to cover themselves. They made themselves loincloths. They covered themselves with probably leaves and stuff of the ground, of the nature that they could grab together. And they made themselves loincloths, something to cover their waist. The word there is often used for the belt that goes around the men's waist. They covered the private area right there. But that wasn't enough. Adam still thought he was naked. Again, a good point to bring out that partial covering is not always fully covered. Partial covering is still nakedness. We don't cover ourselves the correct way. And so they forth and they hid themselves. And another point to bring out, and you know, I thought about this after listening to someone else's lesson as I try to prepare this and getting other thoughts on it. And he brought a good point that you know, these were leaves. And however they got them to stick together using twine and whatnot to tie them together, but they're probably easily ripped, easily swayed, easily blown in the wind. Something that just did not cover that well altogether. Was not going to last that long. This is what they tried to cover themselves up with, and it was not enough. And so we have to ask ourselves, what can we use? What is acceptable? What is naked and what is covered? We start off with what God had provided for them, because this was not enough. So we look here, they made aprons or coverings or loin cloths. Depends on your translation and how it's translated. But it wasn't enough. It was not enough, so they still hid themselves. Because they're no longer just man and woman in the garden, but rather God is coming in the presence. Again, we go back to Colossians, right? I believe we talked about it. I brought it out last week, I think. If I didn't, I'm bringing it out now. Colossians 3. And you look there, as it tells us, do all things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. That even as we might say, well, it's not God in the presence, it's someone else. Or a lot of other people at the beach. Are we covering ourselves in a proper attire, proper clothing? In verse 21, Genesis chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunic of skins and clothing." Made clothes of skin, animal skin. Something more durable, something that's not going to easily tear, it's going to last longer. You make tunics. And as you do research and you cover tunics, and again, you get caught up in trying to... And this is the best we can do in looking at what God had given him. I want to use this point and look at the examples of other scriptures through the rest of the lesson. But tunics are often referred to as something that covered from the shoulders down to the knees. Covered the thighs. All the way up to the shoulders. Sometimes all the way down to the ankles. But it says rarely did it reach all the way down to the ankles. But it always reached down to the knees. Now, I'm not saying we have to wear tunics. Because as you study throughout the Bible, we'll see that there's different words, different things, different cultures. As time continued on, they wore robes. But they had coats. But as we look and study, it was always about covering from the shoulders down to the knees. That's what we see as an example throughout the study. As we see God talk about those who are still naked, those who are uncovered, and those who are covered, to make sure that they're not showing their nakedness. Look with me in Exodus chapter 28.
Exodus chapter 28, if you will. Exodus 28, and read along with me, starting in verse 40. Exodus 28, starting in verse 40, says, "For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall not anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, and that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs." Even with the tunic, that says it went from the shoulder down to the knees. That's what topical. After that, these are the priests, and he says, you need to go that extra step. Make them trousers. That way, if anything happens, it covers their nakedness. Underneath that tunic, they are naked. And so they made them trousers. And as you go back to Exodus 20, in verses 25 through 26, here as they made altars to the Lord, making sure they don't get caught up in doing things the way everybody else was doing it. You read here in verse 25, it says, "And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it." Think about the movies, right? Which is, and they're basing this off of some history, and that's exactly what this is reading here. Is that when they made altars, they built them up this giant steps, and the priest would walk up all the way up there to make their sacrifice, sacrificing children or anything. And when you walk up the steps, what can you do? You look right up the tunics, right up the robes. You can see their nakedness. God said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. And again, when ladies get dressed up and they put on a beautiful dress, usually prom, what kind of pictures do you always see them trying to take? Them coming out and stepping and going down the steps. It says, don't let people see your nakedness. God considered under that spot naked. Again, the idea of covering the waist down to the thighs. The idea of from shoulder down. We need to cover ourselves, following the example we see throughout the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. You look along with me here in verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 47. And in verse 2 it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind a mill, remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not reverberate with a man." And so here, again, how's it talk about the shame that he's putting upon these people? Take off the skirt, uncover the thighs. Your nakedness shall be your shame. They were showing the thighs. They took off the skirt, going down to the buttocks and showing off what was shameful. Didn't say anything about taking the top off that time. Again, looking to the Word of God as an example, seeing what it is, we see time and again of what is shameful. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, "Therefore, Han took David's servant, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away." David started war after this.
David was not pleased with how they treated his people.
He was trying to set peace, and here they're saying, look,
you think David really cares about you? He sent spies.
And so to show David who's who, you know, he cut off their beard in half
of what they were,
so that he could put shame upon them.
Time and again, that's just, the nakedness is an idea. Even when you open up your Bible study, talks about it when it's even a mindset, not speaking of a physical person, just talking about Israel and their nakedness being exposed. Why? Because it's shameful. It's shameful.
In Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs 5 and verse 15, if you will turn along with me there.
As it reads here, it says, drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. Again, here talking about,
and he tells them not to get caught up with
an estranged woman.
This is going forth and saying, are these not yours? And yours alone, your wife, her chest, her breast, are yours, your husband's. And not for everybody else.
Again, between a husband and wife, it's fine.
That's why God set women down here, is that man should not be alone, because it's not good to help us with the temptation that is set there.
But when everybody else is getting part of it, it's not good. Again, we see examples of this time and again throughout the Word of God. But we need to be willing to cover ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs 7, verse 10. Again, going back to, we know, we see people and we start to know where they are. You know what a nurse wears. You know what a doctor wears. We get caught up. We know. And we get to a certain point. We can tell when it's almost a mechanic. Why they wear the way they're, you know, they're grease stained everywhere, right? Proverbs 7, verse 10. It says, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. The attire, the dressing, she looked like a harlot. It was known by the way she dressed
that this is what she is. I know we get caught up and we want to make sure we say we don't judge by appearance. But appearance is showing where our hearts are, where our desires are, what we believe, what we want people to see in us.
And so therefore we have to ask, how do we want to be represented? How do we want to be shown? What are we trying to show others? Proverbs 11, in verse 22. Proverbs 11, verse 22, it says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Again, we'll put rings in the pig's mouth so they can pull it around an animal, so that they lead them in the direction that they need to. But why would you use a gold ring?
Or today, we can go, why would they use a ring full of diamonds? That's pointless. Why would you waste such precious material?
It says you can be beautiful as you want. We don't act accordingly. What good is it? And again, this is a lesson for men and women. Men can be out there mowing the lawn without their shirts on, going to the gym with a shirt that's showing just everything, or wearing mesh net where it doesn't really cover anything because you can see right through. We have to sit there and ask ourselves, what are we showing the world? If something is so tight that it reveals everything that you're trying to cover, when you're doing nothing but changing the color, it's still all revealed. We're wearing stuff that is too short. We're not covering enough up here. What are are we saying about ourselves? Are we professing godliness? The people look upon us and say, that's a holy person. That person must go to church. That person is shining the light of God. And again, yes, you can be correct by standing there and saying, there's not a book, chapter, and verse that says how long, how short, how much needs to be covered. We got examples through the Word of God of what does need to be covered, lest it still be called nakedness. We have the Word of God that tells us that we need to be professing godliness, examples to follow in. We got examples of when nakedness is all right within a marriage. We need not to go beyond the Word of God to find out how we need to be living our lives upon this earth and how we should be dressed. Let us look to God. Again, it's not a question of looking at just my idea. So I've been there. I was young. I played sports. I mowed lawns. I know I took my shirt off when I played basketball. I know I took my shirt off when I mowed some lawns. I look back and I don't. There's not an excuse for it. There's not a need for it. I know I see it. I go around my neighborhood and I say, why do we need to take our shirt off while we're mowing the grass? It gets hot. Oh well. It's still hot without the shirt on. We need to make sure we're doing everything to be pointing people to God. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If any's here that has not obeyed the gospel, I know the lesson was not on being saved, on being baptized, repenting of your sins, and washing your sins away. But if you've heard the Word of God and you know what you need to do, we extend that invitation to any who need to do it. If you're here and you have not been living a faithful life to God, or if you have been just simply struggling and you want prayers to give you the strength you need to continue to fight that good fight, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known. Stand and see.
There's a great day coming.